The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayabhataka Swami on December 25th, 1993 in Penang, Malaysia. The lecture was given during a Rathi Ashram.
सुभद्रा की दर्शन चक्रा की जय भगवान श्री कृष्ण संत राम की जय श्री गोपाल की श्री गोपाल की सर्वेद भक्त वृंद की जय होलीनेस श्री विष्णु स्वामी महाराज श्री Bhakti Bhujendra Nandan Swami Maharaj, all the assembled devotees, all the gentle men and gentle ladies present, as you have heard, we are gathered together in a very important place on a very important occasion. This is the 8th anniversary of the ISKCON of Malaysia Rath Yatra Festival in Penang. This is the historical Punjabihari Temple, which is also special to the devotees of Krishna consciousness, because Srila Prabhupada personally came here and delivered his Bhagavad lecture. And we also heard how that this temple has always given their full cooperation and encouragement for propagating the message of Lord Sri Krishna. We've also heard how in the CIS countries of the former Soviet Union, His Holiness Prabhupada Swami Maharaj has been preaching, and how the people there, the Russians and Armenians and Azerbaijanis and Azerbaijanis and what else they call Georgians, Ukrainians, and how they're actually taking up Krishna consciousness, they're taking up Krishna bhakti, even though it's something foreign to their culture. This is the nature of Sanatan Dharma, however, that although superficially something may appear to be foreign, that by nature we are all devoted, we all have love for the Supreme Lord, and that there is only one Supreme Godhead over everyone, but in different languages, different names for that Supreme Lord have been used. For the Indians, Chinese, the philosophy handed down in the Vedas, reincarnation, law of karma, the Atma, the spiritual self, the yoga, meditation, all these things are very much connected with the culture. Is something quite familiar. That people can take it up in a distant land like Russia, Azerbaijan, etc., America, Australia, then what would be surprising about Malaysia, the Indians and Chinese especially? Actually, when we hear how there are 10,000 full-time missionary preachers and millions of practicing devotees who are living in their homes. And we can see that here in Malaysia, we have still a lot to do. It kind of makes us feel embarrassed. Of course, everything is a question of what priority we place. What is the whole purpose of life? Some people feel that the purpose of life is to have a good place to sleep, to have a lot of good food, to have plenty of sex life, to be strong and be able to defend yourself from any enemies. Many people consider that this is the purpose of life. But that purpose of life is not different than the purpose that any animal would say is the purpose of life. Because every animal wants the same things. In Sanskrit, that's called Ahar Nidra Maituni Bhoy. The difference is that a human being is more than an animal. Because in addition to these four basics, the human being has the capacity to realize the spiritual reality, to realize the absolute truth, to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The animals don't have that capacity. So His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he was very concerned. Whenever he would see people suffering in this material world because of a lack of understanding their own eternal spiritual nature, he felt that compassion. Wherever he went, whether it was England or America or Australia or Russia or Japan, especially when he would come back to India or when he go to places where Indian culture is, many people are from the Indian background, like Malaysia, he would be especially concerned that here are people who have got the very great opportunity for spiritual understanding, but they're becoming so engrossed in materialism that unnecessarily they're suffering. They didn't have to suffer like this. I was just recently in the Middle East, and there one very rich person came to me, and he was commenting how he had accumulated millions of dollars, but he said that, "I think that now I get less sleep. There's so much anxiety. The dollar, the pound, the dinar, the riyal, everything is, the prices are changing, different things are happening, the investment of the money, then the family problems, so many anxieties. I think at least poor people, they can sleep at night. But with money, we can't sleep even." They said, "I want to do something for your Hare Krishna movement. Because I see you're doing a very good work. And I also realize that we have to put the money we earn to some good use. Otherwise, what is the use of life?" Well, we need to put our life's energy, whether it's in the form of whatever form we may have our different energies, we need to put it in the active service of Krishna. And then we actually can achieve the real perfection of human life. Krishna is a personal name for the Supreme Lord. He has unlimited names. Some like to call him God, or there are many other names you can call him. But in Sanskrit, the name Krishna is used because Krishna means all attractive. that supreme person who has attractive for everyone. Who is more famous? Who is more rich? Who is more powerful? Who is more beautiful? Who has got more knowledge? And who is more detached from everything than the Supreme Lord? But all these things are very attractive to people. Beauty, wealth, power, opulence, renunciation, knowledge, etc. So, he has all these totally. So naturally, he's the most attractive for everyone. So when we engage in his service, what happens is as we serve him, we become more attracted to him. As we become more and more attracted to him, we become less attracted to the temporary things of the material world. That means we become a little detached. As we become detached from things in the material world, we can do our duty dispassionately. We can do it without so much anxiety, with a more cool mind, objective, and we can experiment or experience spiritual bliss or spiritual happiness on an increasingly more profound level. Of course, everything, as I mentioned, depends on what priority we put to what we do. What is the goal in our life? There's a story about a carpenter. He was a young carpenter. And he was living in Bengal, in India. And he thought that he could make it rich quick if he would just go to the forest and get some wood. Because wood is free in the forest. So when he gets the wood and makes it into some furniture and sells it, it's 100% profit. No overhead, except his labor. So he decided to go to the Sundarban Forest in the south of Bengal. That is the home of the Royal Bengal Tiger and crocodiles and snakes and many other interesting forms of wildlife that you wouldn't like to meet on a lonely night. So as he was going off into the forest, one very old and wise carpenter saw him and said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to the Sundarban jungle to get wood, to make it rich." He said, "Where's your weapon? You should carry a gun or something. You know, there's tigers there. There's wild animals. It's dangerous." Then the old carpenter went off. And the young carpenter thought, "What does he know? What does he know? I got my saw. I got my axe. What I'll do, if a tiger comes, I'll saw a big branch off a tree. And then when the tiger comes, I'll just swing the branch around my head. And when he sees my ferocious form swinging that big branch, he will become frightened and run off. Good idea?" So, with that idea, he went into the forest and he was cutting down wood. There was a baby tiger. You know, the big tigers are about 3 meters long, even longer. I heard up to half ton. He's a baby one, only 2.5 meters. 7 feet. And over a long way over the field, he started to walk over. The carpenter saw a tiger, and he got his saw out, and he started sawing on the branch, and sawing and sawing. And the tiger started running faster, and he was sawing. The tiger leaped on him, drank his blood, and he was killed. He never thought The tigers don't give you enough time to saw branches off trees. That tiger gave plenty of time. He could have got his gun out and everything, but there was no time to saw a branch off a tree. But when the news got back to the village, the old carpenter said, I told that foolish young man that he should have taken a gun. You can't play around with the tiger. So, the tiger is actually compared to our senses. How do we control the senses? Sometimes they get so angry, we lose control, and we do things that later we regret. And then we get so greedy. Sometimes young people, they steal something, and they get caught by the police, and they feel bad about it. Someone may get tempted, someone says take drugs, and they do that, and their whole life gets ruined. But these senses are very, very difficult to control. Now a yogi, he thinks that I'll control my senses by the yogic meditation. And when my senses get a little agitated, I will meditate and control it. But that is like the yogi who said, that carpenter said, I'll cut the branch when the tiger comes. But when our senses become agitated, where is the possibility of sitting and meditating quietly? That time is too late. So that form of yoga, not very effective to control the senses, which are sometimes like a wild animal. So that same village, one saint came, very saintly sadhu. He was a devotee of Lord Krishna. And he came and he gave lecture on Bhagavad Gita in the night, got everyone to chant Hare Krishna. Everyone was very enthused, had a very clear vision about the purpose of life. Then that sadhu, that saintly preacher, early in the morning, just at sunrise, he left the village and went into the forest. When the villagers realized what had happened, they said, no, we didn't warn him. There's tigers. There's wild animals. So immediately they grabbed their shotguns and rifles and they followed his footprints to go and protect him in case any animals would come and attack him. So they were following after. Then finally, they could hear something in the distance, some roaring or something. They said, oh no, what has happened? They went running. There they came to the edge, to the trees, and they saw there was an open clearing. And there was that sadhu. What was he doing? He was chanting, Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare Hare! So what is it? And he was chanting with many others. But there were no other humans there. There were tigers, deers, bears, and many other creatures of the jungle. And they were all chanting with him. And all of these villagers with their guns and rifles, their mouths hung open, they were shocked. What will we do with our gun? He's going to eat the wild animals to lose their anger and hatred, and getting them all to chant Hare Krishna. So this is the process of Bhakti Yoga. By chanting Hare Krishna, by feasting on Krishna Prasadam, by engaging in the festivals, the different kinds of service to Krishna, when we use our senses in the service of Krishna, they become controlled. The senses which are sometimes like wild animals, they become tame. Sometimes we get visitors to our world headquarters in Mayapur. They come there and someone says, you know, I've been here for 5 days, I forgot about smoking. Or I forgot about eating meat. We're just taking our nice vegetarian food, we're taking the life here, and we feel very peaceful. So today when you're pulling the rod, maybe when you're chanting Hare Krishna, it's easy. Although sometimes the mind may want to go here and there because the mind tendency is to be very wild. But it's with a very small effort, it's easy to remember Krishna and think about Krishna in association with so many devotees, chanting Hare Krishna, serving Krishna, pulling the rod, doing chanting, dancing, whatever the services everyone is doing. So this way, by devotional service, we can tame these wild senses, tame the mind, bring it under control. That gives us inner peace. When we can control the mind and senses, engaging them in some practical, active meditations, then we can start to realize what are the real inner peace and inner happiness that we're actually hankering for. In material life, we get saturated, but we don't get satisfied. But in spiritual life, we get actual, real satisfaction. Now what about those villagers with the guns? What are they like? Today is a holy day. Today is the appearance of the Lord Jesus. He also did a very great sacrifice to preach the message of God. He sacrificed his life. What greater sacrifice can there be? Like this. Now people of various religions all over the world, some of them are very much identified with the material life, but they do pious activities. They go to the religious institution, they pray, they give charity, they sing hymns or mantras. In this way, they do some kind of pious activity. By that pious activity, they are trying to counteract the sins that they have done and trying to get an equilibrium of happiness, material happiness in life. For the most part, very few have actual developed pure love for God. It's a very elevated state. Great devotees have a very high level of love. But generally, people are in the pious activity level. So that is like the people going with the guns. They have something to protect themselves. But they're living also in fear. Because that protection is not a total security. But the protection of the sadhu, that was total. Because why? He has Krishna in the heart. He has love in his heart. And he, because that love in his heart is manifesting, he's able to conquer over the senses, the mind, and all the obstacles in the spiritual life. So here in this Rath Yatra, we find everyone was enjoying dancing and participating. Lord Chaitanya, he also got the animals in the jungle to dance and chant. Prabhupada said, that's not possible for us. But at least if we can get all the human beings to chant and dance. Hari Bol! Hare Krishna! That will be the success. For all the human beings chant and dance in ecstasy. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But his human life is very short. Nobody knows exactly. Average, they say 60, 70. Some live 80, 90. Oldest person in England was 100 or something, just passed away. You hear occasionally about 90, 100 year old people. But then with the car accidents, with the diseases, nobody can say whether one will live very long. Even young people are passing away for any reason. That's why the Vedas advise us side by side, just like two tracks in a train. We should have our material side which we're watching out for, and we should also be caring for our spiritual life. Both sides, both aspects of life, we should be conscious about. We shouldn't neglect either one. Modern society tends to only see the material side. We want to have the balance. Most of the people here are all working people. Many of them are married. Many of them will marry in the future. We want that throughout life, that there's balance of Krishna consciousness alongside with performing your regular duties continues. Rather, our previous acharya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explained that Nama Svaya Jatana Tumi Kakaho Apono Kaji. Take shelter of the holy names of the Lord very carefully and remain in your own material position. Stay with your own occupation. This is a secret, to take shelter of the holy names. Just like nowadays, we have a satellite system all over the world. You can call from Malaysia by international direct dialing to any country practically in the world. You just have to know the code. You dial in the code, and then the country code, city code, and the number, and you're there. You can get there any number. Now Krishna has given to us a special facility in Kali Yuga. He knows that we're in such distress, so much anxiety, so much problems due to the fast life, the materialistic life. He said, you can phone me anytime. And because Krishna is the absolute truth, you don't require any apparatus except what he already gave you. The mouth and the ears. First, you give the code. Just like in Vedic mantras, they begin with Om. Om is also a code. That means it's addressing the Supreme Lord. But that is general address. We want a very specific to address to his bhakti line. Devotional line. Because then he's a little more receptive. Reception is very good on the devotional line. So we first chant through his devotee incarnation. Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita. Gadadhar. Srivas. Hari Gaur Bhaktivinoda. And then we give that number. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Immediately we're connected with Krishna. And Krishna and his name are not different. If we chant the name with devotion, immediately Krishna is present. And in that presence, we feel spiritually rejuvenated, spiritually enlivened. Someone called it charging the batteries. So you know you're all physically tired. You walked many miles tonight, many kilometers. You're dancing. So it's time for you now to rest your bodies, to take some Mahaprasadam feast. But by this chanting, I'm sure all of you have experienced spiritually getting charged up. Take this charge. Take these blessings that you got and use that to keep on chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, every day for some time as a regular practice. Chant Hare Krishna, read the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and in association of devotees, do the worship of Lord Krishna. This is a special request of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you do this, you can cross over all the difficulties that this modern materialistic age offers. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So His Holiness Jayaprakasa Swami, the Acharya Park could see that, sitting from there, he could see that many of us actually didn't know our purpose of life. So he took this opportunity to really enlighten us by giving many simple and wonderful examples. And also gave us the secret code number to contact Krishna. So we all must take this opportunity to work on it.
How many are chanting japa here regularly?
His Holiness wants to know how many of you are chanting the Maha Mantra. Please carry up your hand. How many of you are not chanting?
How many are doing japa?
How many of you are chanting on the japa? Carry up your hands, please.
Very good, very good.
Very good.
Those hired, you can get the japas here.
If you don't have any japas, please get the telephone number there. So, we have also, we are finishing on record time. This is the first time we are finishing very early. Some kind of record in this internet. So, I would like to request you all to ask a few questions. So, you can address the questions to any one of these groups. And then, if they have time, they will try to answer. So, any of you have any questions to ask, please ask some questions. Yes, Prabhu. Come to the mic and ask the question, and you can address the question to any of you.
This is to Prabhu Vishnu Maharaj. Although the devotees are doing a good mission in Russia, do the government really realize the mission of the preaching and why they are against and using that kind of bad signs to kill the devotees?
What was the last part? Did the government realize?
Yes. Did the government really realize the mission of the devotees and in the country? Because they are trying to do some good service in the country. Or they don't know anything about this, and why they use this kind of thing?
So you should first thank the Ram Temple. You were neglecting the Ram Temple.
The chairman of the Ram Temple. So he asked this question to Prabhu Vishnu Maharaj. I think Prabhu Vishnu Maharaj understood his question.
So they've helped. The Ram Temple has also been helping, like Krishna Bihari. You should mention about the Ram Temple.
Just wanted to again thank the Ram Temple. For every year we always start the Rath Yatra with the blessing of Ram. With his protection we get here. And then in the end we get the Kunja Bihari's blessing. So, Sisi Sitarama Sanumanji ki Raha Kunja Bihari ki.
In response to your question about whether the government in Russia understands the mission of Krishna consciousness, actually, the reason that the government changed its opinion back in 89-90 was because it did a very detailed investigation about what is ISKCON, what are the goals of ISKCON, what are the scriptures of ISKCON, how ISKCON can benefit the society, what kind of food they eat, all complete detailed investigation they made. After making that investigation, they came to the conclusion actually ISKCON is a very good movement, and it is very beneficial for the people in general to instill spiritual and moral values into the society, to help people to lead a healthy life. And in this way they recognize this. So actually many important people in Russia, leaders and government people, they have Srila Prabhupada's books, they read Srila Prabhupada's books, and they very much appreciate the work of the ISKCON devotees. That's why ISKCON is able to actually operate so freely now in those countries. And not only Russia, Soviet Union, but there are many other countries where initially people or government was a bit alarmed about the rate at which ISKCON was expanding. And some people actually tried to stop. And in several countries there was a serious investigation, just like Hungary, Holland, some other countries. But after investigation, thorough investigation, then the government could understand that ISKCON is a very good movement and will benefit the people in general. So like that, actually Prabhupada, he said in the beginning people may laugh at you, and then after some time they may try to stop you, but finally he said they'll respect you. So we should understand that this preaching movement, the Sankirtan movement, is the greatest, it is called the greatest welfare, it is Paragupakar, the highest welfare work for the benefit of all humanity. One should be convinced about this, and he should work hard to help others by distributing this knowledge. Even if there are some obstacles, there's no obstacle which cannot be crossed. Lord Krishna said that if you become conscious of me, you can cross all the obstacles of material life by my grace. So a devotee should have faith in the word of Lord Krishna, and if he does, he'll see that all his endeavors will ultimately be successful. He will be benefited, and so many other persons will be benefited as well. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, we still got another 10 minutes. So we can stop at 10:30. So any other questions? Anybody wants to inquire something?
The students?
Mataji, anybody? So maybe I would like to ask a question to you. Maybe you could explain, you could tell us what arrangements is Mahaprabhu was making for the salvation of purpose and true salvation. So that it inspires for all to come from the Mahaprabhu, 1996.
The question was, what is being arranged for Prabhupada's centennial in 19... So the Prabhupada appeared in 1896. So 1996 is being celebrated as a centennial year. So all over the world, in every country, they're doing special observations during that year. And there are some special international areas where there's going to be a big focus for celebrating that centennial. We are trying to finish the Prabhupada Samadhi, and as soon as possible, so that we can already be utilizing it before the centennial anniversary comes up. The Samadhi practically is 99% or 98% completed. We're putting that mosaic on the big dome. This is one of the largest domes in Eastern India. And there are 8 mosaic pastime panels of Prabhupada's different activities. 6 have been put up. The other 2 are waiting for from the artists. This is like that, a few final finishing touches. All the marble has been put on the Prabhupada's temple in the chamber, except for like 5 or 10 small pieces, you know, key pieces. And so it's a struggle trying to get delivery in India from Makrana, from Jaipur, where the marble comes from. There's a few pieces like that. If it all comes into place, we could even open up this year Gaur Purnima. If it doesn't come in place, well, next year for sure we'll open it up. So that's going to be one of the big highlights. The whole Samadhi will be functioning. You caught me a little bit off balance, because when I go back to Mayapur from Malaysia, I'm supposed to be having meetings about what we're supposed to be doing for the big festival. And they want to build up so that every year it builds up for that year. And Rukhanath Maharaj and his number of committee members, they just informed me that they made me the chairman of the, or something, of the coordinator of the committee for the Mayapur Festival of 1996. And they want me to draw up all the things we're going to do. So there have been a lot of different discussions. We had a discussion about having some special modern light shows, laser, and different exhibitions at the Prabhupada's pastimes. Someone's doing a feasibility study of that. We're like in the final stages of trying to plan out. There's going to be a big worldwide exhibition of all the temples around the world, showing, we hope that everyone will come, and displaying Of course, there is expected to be even up to 10,000 devotees. There are active practicing devotees from all over the world. So you can imagine the big Navadvip parikramas, the big festivals. There'll be many stages, many different programs going on, different events. And so I'm also concerned we're preparing our plans now for the logistics which will be required. We're trying to bring in very important people also to come at that occasion to glorify Srila Prabhupada. But ask me this question next visit. I'll be able to give you more information because we're actually, I just 2 weeks ago been told, although I should have suspected it, that I have to give all the work on all the detailed plans. So, but it's going to definitely be, as they said, it's going to be the centennial of the century. And the biggest, one of the biggest aspects of it is going to be the Mayapur festival when devotees will be coming from all over the world to remember Srila Prabhupada and glorify Srila Prabhupada. The whole focus of that festival will be especially on Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai!